Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Catch Up with Louise McSharry, or welcome back if it is not your first time joining us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining in. This is the podcast where I try and keep you in the loop. If you have a busy life, if you have seven children hanging off you, if you have one child hanging off you, if you have no children and simply choose to disengage with life, or are simply tied up with family or business or, I don't know, watching reality TV and you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on in the world, don't worry, I have got you covered. Today is the entertainment episode, so we will be talking about the shalubs and what they've been up to, and there is lots of fun stuff to discuss. Myself and Kian Sullivan had a great laugh talking about all the stories this morning, so I know you're going to really enjoy them. But before we get going, I wanted to say a couple of thank yous. Thank you to everyone who messaged me about what I said about traveling with my mom over the weekend on the news episode on Monday. I really appreciated it. It's really great to hear from other people who have family members in similar situations. And, you know, that solidarity is really helpful. It's such a difficult thing, as I mentioned, to have someone you love going through Alzheimer's. It's difficult on them. It's difficult on the entire family. And it's just, yeah, it's a real challenge. But I feel very lucky that I have this platform and that when I thought it might be helpful to kind of share some of that experience, I was able to. And you guys, as usual, were amazing and supportive. And I wanted to say a big thank you for that. Also, thank you. I got a little update on the ticket sales for the Laughter Lounge. Thank you so much. We're doing really well. I really appreciate all of you who've bought your tickets already. The show is going to be happening on May 9th in the Laughter Lounge in Dublin. That's a Thursday night, so a good night. I think a great night, actually, to go out, because you just have to, if you work Monday to Friday, you've just got to get through one more work day. And then you've got your whole weekend ahead of you. Ideal. I'm also really excited. So the show is going to be, if you've been to one before, it's going to be a little bit different this time. We're not going to do a musical guest. Instead, the first half is going to be kind of an entertainment focused half. And then the second half will be a conversation, as there always is at one of my live shows. We'll have a brilliant guest. But the first half is going to be myself and Emer McLysett and Esther O'Moore Donoghue, who you know, of course, from the entertainment slots here on the podcast. And we've got a plan, which I think is going to be really, really fun. We're still working on it, but I just know it's going to be really fun. So if you don't have your tickets yet, go ahead and grab them. The link is in the show notes. Other than that, thanks again for your continued, I don't know if this is the thank you podcast apparently, for your continued support on Patreon as well. If you feel like you would maybe buy me a coffee if you saw me around, say thank you for the podcast. Maybe you fancy throwing a few quid my way over at Patreon. It's patreon.com/catchupwithlouisemcsharry. Sorry, this is very heavy admin at the start of the podcast this episode, and I do apologize for that. That's all the jobs done. I have actually a great list of recommendations, which I'm pulling together, which I will be giving you at the end of the episode on Friday. There's going to be a new mailbag episode out of the podcast tomorrow. So don't forget, if you ever have thoughts, feelings, concerns, feedback, ideas, suggestions, simply a question you'd like to ask me, I'm more than happy to answer them on the mailbag episode. You just have to send an L voice note. Voice note is preferred just because it's, I think, a nicer listening experience. And I just also really enjoy hearing your voices. But sometimes, you know, the topics are sensitive and you don't feel comfortable, and that's okay too. So you can send a text as well. The number is 089-209-6423. That's 089-209-6423. I always feel like I'm back on the radio when I'm reading out a phone number. So there you go. That's those jobs done. Let's get stuck in. We are going to talk about Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher and the timing of Isla's announcement of their divorce. We're going to talk about Billie Eilish adding everybody to her close friends. And we're going to talk about so much more. I hope you enjoy. Here's Cian Sullivan. Well, Cian Sullivan, this is an unusual recording setting for us because we are crammed into my mother's Volkswagen Polo in a car park in Blanchardstown.
It actually gives it a greater air of gravitas. I'm really enjoying the kind of covert people are walking by on their way to school, and we're secretly stashed here chatting about celebs.
It really did feel, you said, like kind of like you're arranging meeting someone you're having an affair with, because it was like a car park and like, which side of the car park are you on? And I was like choosing based on where I thought it would be the quietest, yeah, and like the least. So I was like, I'm over by the apartments facing the bushes.
But we've got a laptop, we've got recording equipment. It could be like a secret agent.
These are the lengths we go to, friends, absolutely, to make sure that we get you the latest in entertainment news. I'm not going to lie, it hasn't been the biggest news week in the world of entertainment, but there's still some fun stuff to discuss.
There
we
is.
Might as well get stuck
absolutely
in. First of all, we spoke recently about Rebel Wilson's book on the podcast, and the fact that she'd written this book and she had referred to someone as an asshole she'd worked with, and then like it went Barbra Streisand effect in a big way, because then everybody found out that it was Sacha Baron Cohen she was referring to.
Yeah, he kind of outed himself, no? Because he was like, stop talking about me. I'm just like, well, I didn't mention your name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess his name has been kind of dragged around the mud a bit since then, because I think it was Esther you were talking about, and there was allegations about he wanted to put a finger up the bum or something like that. I don't know.
And I actually heard a retelling, because then on my TikTok after we recorded that episode, it turned out that she had actually spoken about the incident on the BBC in an interview a couple of years ago. I think it was 2021.
Yeah.
And she had described the incident that then she wrote about in the book, but again, didn't name the person. And what she said in this interview was that she was called into his like dressing room or whatever. And he was there with like a couple of his mates who he works with. And he was like, oh, I've had this idea. Like, I want you to do this. And she was like, no. And his friends were kind of laughing at her. And she was like really uncomfortable. And I that kind of added something to it for me, because that feeling of like being in a room of like men who are all mates kind of having a laugh, asking you to do something that's really uncomfortable, like it just sounds like it was very unpleasant.
Not nice at all. And actually, following that story coming out in Pop Bitch, they told a story about how on a set in 2016, around the time Grimsby came out, but not Grimsby, there was somebody who kept doing a poo in the women's toilets. Every morning the women would come to work and there was a massive poo in the toilets, unflushed. And they didn't know who it was. And Pop Bitch alleges that the only person who was on the set early in the morning every single day was Sacha Baron Cohen. So, who knows what else has come out about Sacha Baron Cohen. But anyway, recently it's been announced that Isla Fisher and him have divorced.
Because people kept saying, like, where's Isla Fisher in all of this? Yes. What does Isla Fisher have to say? Because she's this, like, sweet actor who he's been married to for years.
Yeah.
We're purportedly friends with Rebel Wilson, so people were like, what's the story?
Yeah, we want to hear Isla's side. Well, they've come out to say, this is a bizarre statement, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we are finally putting down our rackets. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. Racket spelled with a Q. Is that an Australian spelling?
I don't know. The whole thing was weird. It was like, so with a strange photo of the two of them in fancy dress as tennis players as well. But like, also, I think it's important to like comment and observe and make note of the fact that this was 2023 the marriage ended. So this is old news, essentially, and has nothing to do with this story coming out. But Isla did decide to share the information in the aftermath of this coming out, which I think says a lot.
I mean, they're saying, and I think this makes the most sense, that they were trying to give time to prioritize the welfare of their kids amongst the split, and they didn't want it to be a huge tabloid father. But possibly, she got wind of this bad phantom pooer slash you know, bugger her, allegedly.
Well, yeah, like, if it was your ex-husband, you wouldn't want to be associated.
No.
You'd be like, I'm done with this bullshit.
FYI.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. We're done. Yeah. We have been done for over a year.
Yeah.
But they still apparently remain incredibly close.
Yeah, well, exactly. And but good for her for being like, I want my name out of this conversation. It's kind
I'd
of
like to remove my name from this narrative, the Taylor
yes,
Swift quote.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. I'd like to be excluded. Exactly. It kind of reminds me of Billy, I was about to say Billy Fisher, which is not a person, and then I was going to say Billie Eilish. No, Billy.
Piper?
Piper, thank you.
Name of Billy. God.
It's Billy. It reminds me of Billy Piper
and Lawrence Fox.
Recently.
Yes.
Yeah, talking about Lawrence Fox in an interview where she's not going to say a lot, but she is going to say, that's not my circus, not my monkey. Like,
yeah,
this
anymore.
Is not my thing anymore. Done, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, good for you, Isla Fisher. I hope you're very
Fisher
happy.
And Billy Piper work together. They'd be a good little duo.
They would. What? Has Isla been working?
Yeah, in the article you linked me, it described Isla Fisher as the Wedding Crashers actor. And I was like, okay, come on. Like, she was in the Gatsby movie. Surely we could have done
yeah.
a better reference than Wedding Crashers. But yeah, I haven't seen her in a long time, but I always liked her.
I always think of her as in Diary of a Shopaholic, which I feel like says a lot about
yes.
me personally
yeah.
and where I am in the world. Hang on, I really want to look up her IMDb and see if she has anything coming up. This is not to in any way disrespect her or her career, because she may well just be focusing on raising her children, which I respect.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a TV series in 2022, 2023 called Wolf Like Me. She was doing some voice acting in some animated films over the last couple of years. And she has three upcoming projects. One is called Playdate. One is Untitled Noah Baumbach Picture.
Okay, interesting.
That's good. I actually think I just heard about this yesterday. That, about the cast. It's loads of people are in it. Someone interesting was in it. God, I can't get to the information in my brain.
The guy from Stranger Things, I think, is in it. I don't know, maybe that's what I saw.
I think it was someone Irish. It was like a big deal.
Oh, okay.
I'll see. Can I figure it out as we go on? But hang on, let's see if any of these upcoming projects sound exciting, because I would like Isla to have a new era. Oh my God, sorry guys, it's actually very hard for me to use my laptop in the car.
In a car.
Yeah, as it turns out, we just don't have the space. So okay, anyway, look, good for you, Isla Fisher. We're happy for you. Godspeed
yes.
and good luck in your career. And the next film she's in with Greg Kinnear. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Let's fingers crossed for the Noah Baumbach film.
Yes, I'm putting all my chips
go
on the Noah Baumbach film. We're hoping it's good for you, Isla.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of Billies, we are going to talk about Billie Eilish.
Yes.
Were you added to her close friends this week? I was added to her close friends.
I don't know if I follow her on the pod.
What?
Because I just kind of follow like drag queens and stuff on the podcast.
Yeah, but what about on your personal?
I don't have a personal.
Oh.
The shock on your face.
Huh.
But I do like her. I've had a personal.
No, hang on. Sorry, pause. So you have the drag queen. You have your podcast,
yeah.
obviously. Sissy That Pod, which is about Drag Race. Mm. So you follow people only relevant kind of to Sissy That Pod.
Yeah.
So then you're not like in the world of Instagram otherwise at all?
I try not to be, no.
What's it like to have good mental health?
It's refreshing.
I know. Sorry.
And
can
I try
we...
not to TikTok either. It's just, it's for that reason. Like, I find it so insidious to my brain that I just really try to have boundaries with it, and I only go on when I'm posting or trying to interact with people or book guests.
Okay, so what about, because you're so up to date like on culture stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm always afraid that if I wasn't, I mean, first of all, I have to be because it's part of my work, but I'm always afraid that if I wasn't on it all the time, I would like miss stuff.
Yeah.
So where are you getting your
other podcasts?
Podcasts
and news articles. I'll scroll through like different articles and so on and see what's
reading
going on.
Articles.
Yeah.
Huh. This is interesting to me. No, I do read articles, but like, wow.
Yeah.
So.
And look, I end up going up because it drags me on occasionally.
No, of course,
but
of course.
But it's mostly just stats on Drag Race normally that I end up getting.
And but you're not telling anyone like I was here, I was there, I did this great thing,
no.
I did that great thing.
No.
Wow. That's great.
I do.
I'm happy for you.
I mean, this is a separate conversation, I guess, but I do worry that I will have to ultimately adjust it into a me page if I'm to proceed with a certain career, but like,
yeah, but still that doesn't have to be that personal.
No.
Sorry, I'm in a very weird, I'm in a weird phase of my relationship with social media at the moment where I kind of hate it, and I'm like, wouldn't it be nice to just like I don't know, have a career that didn't...
Yeah, require it.
And it's mainly because, like, I love social media, but I'm very addicted to it. Like, and I'm actually quite conscious of how damaging that addiction is now and how much time I'm spending and how distracted I am a lot of the time. I think it's actually not very healthy. Sorry, that's why I delved in there. Anywho, Billie Eilish
added friends find it very frustrating, though.
Yeah, I bet
like,
they do.
They're like... So you're going to Rome this weekend. How would I have known if you hadn't told me? It's like, I'll tell you when I see you. You'll be fine.
Communicating directly. It's interesting. These are new concepts. But anyway, Billie Eilish did add me to her close friend story this week.
Okay. So yes, as part of promo, we assume, and then was confirmed for her new album, Billie Eilish has added all of her followers to her close friends group, which I guess we kind of need to describe what that is. So, like, it's kind of a way for them to allow you to have a Finsta, a fake Instagram account without having to set up a separate account. So you
I would post photos of my children sometimes on my close friends that I wouldn't post in my regular stream just because I do want to afford them some privacy. But, like, you know, close friends and family, I don't mind obviously seeing the kids because I see them in real life. So I would put that on my close friends.
Yeah.
And celebrities generally, it's thought, would be posting stuff that are just more intimate there.
Yeah. And normally you'll see because it has a green circle around the story rather than the kind of pinky yellow.
Yeah.
So people didn't know what was going on. I don't imagine her. Was she spilling any particular tea in the close friend circle? Or was it exactly the same stuff?
No, it was kind of interesting. Like, I noticed it and I was like, huh, that's weird. But I didn't think anything of it because obviously Billie Eilish doesn't know who I am. But I did see a few people on their stories being like, oh my God, what? And I was like, guys, calm down. She just posted a photo of a tattoo, which it turned... I'll tell you what it was as we reveal
ampersand
more information.
Soft, right?
And then she just an image, which to me very clearly looked like it was like album art or something to do with album imagery.
Okay. So maybe it was the soft launch of her new album, which was announced yesterday as we record. It's called Hit Me Hard and Soft. It is released on May 17th. It's also coming out in several vinyl formats.
Now, interesting.
They are recyclable material, but it is still several vinyl formats, which I thought was
That was her whole argument.
Yeah. Huh. And, so she said she's not really...
Well, she did say, including me, I do this as well. I think... sorry, I'm trying to make peace with this. So for anyone who didn't listen to last week's entertainment thing, Billie had gave an interview and she said that it's kind of like... The industry has lost the run of itself. People are releasing many, many, many vinyl formats of their albums, and it's in order to boost their sales, get number ones, and obviously make more money. And environmentally, that's not a good move. And, you know, it's also just kind of greedy. But she did say, then people went mad, and then she said, I do it too. Mm. And I think it's okay sometimes to identify a problem and say that you're part of it. Like, for example, it's a problem that I'm on social media so much, but I am the one making that problem.
Yeah. And look, she might have said that. Her record label maybe forced her to do this album format, and she doesn't like it, and she came out against it, but she is, you know, I don't want to say that Billie Eilish is a cog in the machine, but she's only one part of the machine that is Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. And apparently they are recyclable, so she is pushing the sustainability principle that at least it's not of a drain on resource, but I still think it is sort of flogging the fans a bit.
It's interesting, that she's choosing to do that.
But she's not releasing any singles. She wants people to listen to it in its entirety when it comes out on May the 17th.
I like that.
And it is just another release in Pop Girl Summer. It's been so much. It's been great.
I am just loving my life at the moment. Absolutely. Tell me, what's the album you're listening to currently?
Cowboy Carter.
Yes. Cowboy Carter is on all the time. But I'm still dipping back into Casey.
Yeah, a bit of Casey. Also, Conan Gray. Conan Gray had a new album out on Friday, which is 80s nostalgia from start to finish.
Oh, who is this person? I'm not familiar.
American. I don't really know too much about the man other than I've heard the singles before this. Yeah. But like...
Don't listen to a lot of men, to be honest.
Well, you mind, because it is very much like, that's the Pet Shop Boys, that's Queen, that's Howard Jones, that's also Queen. So it's like the... influences are on his sleeve, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Okay.
But I mean, you don't need to tear yourself away from Casey or Ariana or Beyonce. Yeah. And we've got Taylor soon, and we've got Billie soon.
Yeah. It's all very exciting. Yeah. I have to say, the Casey Musgraves album, I just am obsessed with. I love it so much. Absolutely. It's such a beam of light into the world. Okay, anyway, yes, Billie Eilish, new music, the 17th of May. Very exciting if you're a Billie Eilish fan, which I am.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'd be interested to know what Billie Eilish thinks of this next story, because she's famously not wanted to be sexualized on screen, and the sort of people are discussing sex on screen, and we know sex sells, but maybe sex on screen is causing people some distress, because Twitter user Soren Iverson is a social media user, made this fake image of a Netflix interface with this alleged new feature called skip the foreplay, which would mean you click it and then you would skip all the sex scenes. So if you're watching, going, sitting down to watch a movie with your family and you're not sure if it's going to be a salt burn, you could click this button and you'd skip all the sex scenes.
Now, I did see someone on Twitter saying, surely this would mean you'd skip all the other stuff and go straight to the sex, which I think is...
Yeah, the name is absolutely
the name
flawed.
Is a misnomer.
But that's because this man did not expect it to get 1.6 million views and for it to pop off in the way that it did. So... And it seems like audiences are split. Some people are like, I'd actually pay for that function. And some people are like, well, if you're not mature enough to watch the sex, you shouldn't be watching the rest of the show. But I think now that, like, watersheds aren't really a thing anymore, you know, in the streaming era, and it's hard to gauge, you know, what's a family movie and what's not, that people seem to have some level of interest in this.
Well, it is interesting because, like, you know, there are things that I sometimes think, oh yeah, the kids would like that, and then you're watching it and then you're like, oh no, this is actually not appropriate. So I think, you know, I don't think we need to be editing things in this way or, like, providing these edits. However, Nicola Coughlan is invested in these edits.
Yeah, Nicola Coughlan is creating her own skip the foreplay button, because she has written into her contract that the producers of Bridgerton have to give her a sex-free edit of the show that she can give to her family back in Galway, and they can watch it without any fear of exposing her privacy.
I think this is ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous too, but it kind of reminds me of the way Reese Witherspoon wrote into her contract that she got to keep all the outfits from Legally Blonde.
Well, that's just
smart. I mean, when you've got power, why not try use it in a way that you want?
Yes, I respect her using her power, but I do just think, come on, could you not just send it home and they can watch it? You don't have to be there when they watch it.
Yeah.
But, like, grow up is my thoughts. And I like Nicola Coughlan, but, you know, I really like her new show, Big Mood, and I think she's brilliant in it. However, I think, Nicola, you've got to come on. You've got to make peace with this.
The family have Netflix. I'm sure they can go on and watch the full version if they want.
But isn't that awful to think about, that your parents would go and seek out the bit with the sex in it?
What if there's a plot point in it?
Well, exactly, and I'm sorry, it's fucking Bridgerton. It's not exactly, like, you know, softcore porn. Like, I mean, yes, the first series was quite sexy, and I hope that there's a bit of sexy time for Nicola's character in this. But, like, it's not going to be, you know, Saltburn.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, no, maybe not. I think...
Imagine Bridgerton took a turn and it was Saltburn.
I'd like a Friday Louise McSherry podcast with the intern who had to edit the Nicola Coughlin edit. You know? Their only job was, okay, I just started this company, I had to edit out all the sex for Nicola Coughlin.
I mean, I've heard of worse jobs in show business, let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, moving on. Alison Hammond apparently has a new BBC interview series, and this is off the back of her not getting the big job at...
This morning.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to call someone a national treasure when they're not from our nation?
Well, she is a national treasure in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So yes, Alison Hammond, viewers were believing that she was snubbed from the This Morning role, that she didn't get the full daytime, no, the full week-long job with Dermot O'Leary. Instead, I went to Kat Deely and your man Ben...
Shepherd?
Ben Shepherd, that's it. Now, look, Alison was very judicious. She said she didn't want the full thing. She was the Friday People and she wanted to stay like that because of her commitments to Bake Off and for the love of dogs. Who knows if that's true? Yeah. Anyway, she is now getting this her own show called Alison Hammond's Big Weekend, which is a Living with Lucy style show where she goes and she lives with somebody for a weekend and interviews them and kind of, you know, shares their world with the viewers. But I hope it brings along Alison's unique, wacky, unserious approach to interviews.
I hope so too, because like Alison Hammond, for those who don't know, comes from Big Brother. Like she was on Big Brother, I think it was season three.
Yeah, the Jake Goody year.
Yeah, like she was on Big Brother. That's where she started. And it was kind of a big deal for her to get TV stuff because she wasn't like perfectly manicured, she wasn't slim, she wasn't white, like she wasn't a lot of the things that people expect for TV reporters to look like, but she is so charming and funny that like she is magnetic on the screen, you just can't look away from her.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like really delighted that she was kind of breaking the mold in terms of, you know, who could be on TV.
Absolutely.
And who couldn't. Now over the years she's become a little bit more streamlined, she's quite a lot more polished and like that makes sense, of course, like when you've access to stylists and money and makeup artists and hair and all the rest and you're doing that kind of daytime TV program, but like I feel like we don't get to see the like madness of her as often as we used to, and even on Bake Off I feel like she's somewhat kind of muted. So I agree, like I hope we get the full Alison Hammond experience on this show.
Absolutely, she's such an amazing laugh, and like a lot of the reports around this were like that she's so warm hearted, which is true, and she has her heart on her sleeve, and I think like there's no pretense with her, what you see is what you get, and it's really really, you know, infectious to be seen on the screen. And some of her all-time greats, like you showed, you know, having whiskey with Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling.
That
do you think he was pissed off, Ryan Gosling, during it?
No, do you?
I couldn't read. Yeah, sometimes I thought he was.
I don't think he was.
Okay.
I don't think he was. I think he was enjoying it because I think Harrison Ford has this reputation of being a bit crank.
Yeah.
And then he was clearly having so much fun. So, and I think also they're so bored in those on those press days. I'm sure they were just delighted to have a break. If you haven't seen, I'm going to put in a clip here, but if you haven't seen Alison Hammond interviewing Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling, just look it up. It is so entertaining. If you're having a bad day, if you put it on, it'll brighten your day. And it's because she's not doing the usual shtick.
No.
She's being herself.
She asks the questions like, oh, you know, did you have fun on set? But she can tell she just wants to have a laugh with them, you know? Like, there's also a great clip of her trying to sing to Mariah Carey, and Mariah Carey's like, no. And recently, Hunsnet shared a clip of her playing Connect Four with Beyonce. Did you see this?
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah,
that's
it's very
so good.
Good.
And actually, seeing Beyonce kick ass Connect Four made so much sense.
Of course
around,
she did.
Yeah. Around like the multi-layered aspects of her albums and everything like that. I was like, of course she did. And also one of my favorites is, for whatever reason, Alison Hammond is doing a weather report on a like floating island of the UK and Ireland the Thames, and she's standing on mainland England and she's talking about Ballybogie and the rain in Ballybogie, and she jumps across from England to Northern Ireland, kind of loses her balance and leans on the kind of scantily clad men who are helping her out there and pushes him right into the river.
It's so funny. I forgot about that. I gotta rewatch that now.
It's so good. So look, I'm here for any Alison Hammond success.
Me too.
Hope it's good.
Me too. Okay, I wanted to mention this because, you know, I think most people would be familiar with the what happened at the Oscars with Jonathan Glazer. He is a filmmaker and he was the main person to speak out about Palestine at the Oscars. There were kind of other indirect references, but Jonathan Glazer really came out and spoke out, and it has been chaos ever since.
Yeah, so he was the director of The Zone of Interest, which, if people don't know, is a movie on the Holocaust. And it basically, it's a fly-in-the-wall movie following this Nazi whose name I can't remember, who is like the head of Auschwitz, and it's just his day-to-day life, and you can watch how he, you watch how him and his family try to create this cognitive dissonance when on the backdrop is Auschwitz, and you see, you know, you hear people dying, you see the smoke from the chimneys. Like, it's a really striking movie if you haven't got a chance to see it yet. So it deals with all the things that are going on. You know, I think out of all the people to speak, he's probably, you know, based on the art that was created there, he is the perfect person to speak.
Of course, I think it would have been kind of weird if he didn't.
Absolutely. So look, it's a long speech, but the kind of the line that is getting bandied about and misquoted is, right now we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. That's the full sort of line.
Yeah.
And it has been misquoted as just, right now we stand as men who refute their Jewishness. Full stop.
Which is two very different things.
100%.
Very different things, wildly different things.
Yeah.
And like it was like respectable publications did this, like Variety did it, and now they corrected their story later. But that led to people, I mean, total outcry.
Absolutely. There's been a letter signed by the likes of Eli Roth and Deborah Messing and 450 others, sort of denouncing his speech.
I was really disappointed to see like Amy Pascal and Amy Sherman Palladino
on there. Yeah, I saw that too, yeah. But then, look, I don't know. Did they just hear the misquote and thought it was genuine?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then, so then, as a sort of counter movement to that, Joaquin Phoenix, Elian Gould, and 150 others have signed a letter in support of Glazer, saying attacks on Glazer are a dangerous distraction from Israel's escalating military campaign. It's just incredibly fraught, and I think like, obviously, it's very difficult to be a lot of different people right now amidst this war, but I guess being Jewish and having a Jewish identity is definitely coming up into question, and which side of this kind of conflict you land on. I think it's just very messy, and it also kind of shows, I guess, what a tight grip this topic has on the careers of people in Hollywood.
Well, this is it. And I think it's really interesting in the context of Hollywood that, you know, this speech by one person has become like such a huge thing, has been spoken about so much, has been, you know, like become like the main topic for ages now.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, still there are thousands of people dying. Like, it's like, how can you become so fixated on this tiny little thing when there's such a bigger situation happening?
And also, you can see why when other things come up and people don't speak up, you can kind of see why, because even if they speak their truth and curate it in a very well articulated statement, all they need to do is someone to misquote it either purposely or accidentally, and you have a shitstorm on your hands.
Yeah, completely. Miriam Margolyes has also been speaking out, as she is wont to do.
Yeah.
She is Jewish, and she has spoken a few times, but she released a message via the Jewish Council of Australia in which she calls on all Jews to shout, beg, scream for a ceasefire in Gaza, and said that it's, in terms of the fact that they are facing what UNRWA USA is calling a man-made famine. But she said, and this is pretty harsh, she said that Israel's prosecution of its war on Gaza has left her, quote, so afraid of Israel. To me, it seems as if Hitler has won. He's changed us Jews from being compassionate and caring to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, into this vicious, genocidal, nationalist nation pursuing and killing women and children. And like, there's going to be a lot of people who will not be happy about that. But
why not the Jewish institution in the UK? Would they not have her?
I don't know.
Australia
do not
seems
know.
Like a what interesting detail in that statement.
She says, what's happened in Gaza is shocking, embarrassing, and wicked, and I cannot understand why all Jewish people, particularly members of synagogues, do not want to immediately stop what is going on. And I think there are a lot of people who are relieved to hear that, relieved to hear that she is, you know, speaking out, that there are lots of Jewish people who are speaking out.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't about religion. This is about you know, Israel and Zionism, which is separate from that. Yeah. And, you know, it's important to note that. She released it in support of the Jewish Council of Australia. She is an Australian citizen.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, there are people saying things, but it's not easy when you do, and that's the reality.
Well, there are people saying things that other people don't like, and on a lot more frivolous note, it's Nathan Carter.
I saw this, and I was like, Nathan, shut up. And then I had to check myself, because I was like, Nathan Carter is entitled to have an opinion about this. But it really riled something up in me, something deep inside me.
So I'm wondering, did he get annoyed because he, his friends used to call him Cowboy Carter, and now that has new cultural capital?
I did not consider that, and that is a good question.
Right, Nathan Carter doesn't like Cowboy Carter. He's had a go. He said it's not his cup of tea. He says just because you put banjo on something doesn't make it country. He doesn't like the cover of Jolene. I'm like, that's fine. I mean, I think it's well established now that this country album was country by concept rather than country by genre.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't have an issue with him saying it's not country because it's not really trying to be country.
Yeah.
But, and I know lots of people don't like have an issue with the Jolene or don't love it. But I think as a man who's made himself famous with a cover of a song written by Bob Dylan, it's rich to come for someone else's cover.
I agree. And I think the bit that bothers me is it wouldn't be my cup of tea.
Yeah. I think he was trying to be nice.
It wouldn't be my cup of tea.
It was just damning.
It wouldn't be your cup of tea, Nathan Carter.
Like none of them. Not one song.
None of it. Like you've no respect for this incredible album of artistry. Like I just feel that even if you don't like it, right?
Yeah.
Fine. But like, surely as a musician, like I'm not a musician and there's so, now I'm a fan, obviously, blah, 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 blah. We all know my biases. But like, surely as a musician, you'd be able to go, wow, that's unbelievable. That vocal performance is amazing. That blah, blah, blah. Like, surely he can appreciate it on some level. To just say, it's not my cup of tea. Oh no, I am not.
I do think whoever interviewed him didn't want to paint him in a good light. Like, I think, there's at one point he's like, oh, maybe I'm old fashioned, blah blah blah. But I think they really went with the most critical parts of whatever he said about them.
Well, I also have an issue with it's more rap influenced. He said, yeah. I don't know if you can call it country at all. It's more rap influenced. What are you talking about? Yeah. There's like one or two very quiet moments of rap on that album.
Yeah, a bit of trap and stuff.
Yeah, but there's like one guest who's a rapper, and she turns into Rap-Yonce, I think, once or twice maybe.
Yeah.
But it's actually very minimally rap influenced than many of her other albums.
And it's pushing the genre forward and new directions, and I mean I don't need to exalt Cowboy Carter anymore.
Do you know what it is? It's like he's like, I prefer Dolly and I prefer Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash to the newer crop of country singers that are out there at the minute, but that's just me, and that's fine. Like obviously, as I have said, Nathan Carter is entitled to his opinion. However, like, he's not an old man. He's only 33.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening there?
And also, like, it's a weird position.
Sorry,
to
he's
be
only 33. I'm just realizing that as I say it.
But it's a weird position to be when you are, I'm not going to, like, I mean, he doesn't have a profile in the US, whatever, but, like, he is a young country singer.
Yeah.
But he's basically pooing on a lot of his contemporaries and being like, I don't like the new crop of country singers. As a new country singer from the crop, I don't like any of this.
Well, I think it's interesting to like write off the, like all of them. Yeah. I'm not interested in, I like the old
Kelsey
ones,
Ballerini,
don't like the new ones. Like, that's not for me. Like, your audience, Nathan Carter, like, who are they? And are they going to die? Like, are you pandering to an older audience?
Yeah.
Is my question.
Are they going to die?
Just the age.
Yeah, no,
like, is this a smart commercial? Sorry, yeah. I'm gonna get cancelled again.
I just think it's an interesting phrasing, but I also think his audience aren't gonna like Cowboy Carter.
Yeah,
it's an easy move for him to do. But
anyway, I mean, look, he's happy.
The
he's successful.
The
I'm happy for him. We can all live and let live.
Yeah.
Nathan Carter, I wish you every success. I'm just not sure if this is actually the best commercial strategy. But honey, go get it.
If next week he's popping off about Casey Musgrave's A Deeper Well, I don't know what we're going to have to do.
Oh, well then.
There'll be issues.
Then we're going to have a real problem. I just, Nathan Carter.
I just thought it was funny.
He's just such an Irish phenomenon to have like a guy from Liverpool become like a massive country star in Ireland. It's I'll never get over it. Again, handsome fella. I'm sure he's very nice. He loves great people, love him, good for you. Like, I don't like to shit on anybody else's parade. No. That's not the expression.
Yuck and moons, yum.
Thank you. That's the one. It's much better. But yeah, I just, it's puzzling to me. We're very different, I would say.
Yeah, and I don't know anyone who could name a second song by Nathan Carter.
Yeah, yeah. And are they original? Maybe they are. I don't know. Who knows? I feel very conscious of the fact that there's probably people who are furious listening to this. Although I'm not sure how much of a crossover actually myself and Nathan Carter have in terms of audience. But if you're there, I'm sorry. You enjoy him.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree on everything. All right. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank
this
you for having
me. This car is sweating yeah. with the chat
really,
inside it.
Really, really not helping the infidelity allegations. If I put my hand on this window, it would be like Titanic. Do you know that?
Where can the people find you?
I am covering the last few episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race on Sissy.pod, and I do a radio show every Wednesday on RT Pulse called Club 96.
You will not find him on Instagram though, friends.
Nope.
Never.
Not me.
That's all from me. Thank you so much for being with me today. I hope you enjoyed. I will be back with you on Friday. As I mentioned, I have a pretty special interview for this Friday, so I think you're going to enjoy it, and I'll have all the recommendations then as well. Thank you so much for having me on the network, to Acast. Thank you to Kian for being a brilliant contributor today, and thank you to you for listening. I hope you have a great one. You can't have a great one every time, though, so if it's not great, don't worry. Just put one foot in front of the other, and we will chat on Friday.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.